We are pleased and grateful to close out this hour by welcoming David Sandilow, the Assistant Secretary of Energy, onto the program. He joins us from Washington, D.C. He's just back from a meeting of top-level climate change officials between the U.S. and China, a meeting that took place in Beijing. Mr. Assistant Secretary, good morning.
Thanks for having me, John.
Let's first of all describe the significance of these talks. The two biggest carbon emitters, it's probably fair to say, maybe there's someone else in there that might make the top three, but China and the U.S. talking about climate change. What's the argument here?
Well, I tell you, they were good talks. But things have changed so much. I first visited China in 1981. I was a student on one of the early exchange programs between our two countries way back then. In that summer, there was one international phone line in the entire city of Shanghai that I could use to call home in this vast city. Now, when I arrived in Beijing last week, my BlackBerry automatically connected to a wireless network within moments of my plane arriving in Beijing. And by the time we got to the terminal, I had already sent messages back home, and I had called. By the time we were in the airport, I was using my cell phone to call D.C. You know, I guess when I think about that contrast between 1981 and today, it gives me a lot of hope for this global warming problem, which is so challenging because I think that the United States and China are going to make big changes over the course of the next couple of decades and change our energy systems if we work together.
But isn't that very growth what leads officials in the U.S. government to believe that China alone and its massive economy could actually tip the scales on climate change regardless of what the rest of the world does?
Well, it could. China's economy is huge and growing, and if it uses 20th century technologies to grow during the 21st century, it's going to be a problem for all of us in terms of global warming. And so that's why we need to work together to get clean technologies out there, both in the United States and China. And by the way, what you said at the top was exactly right. Our two countries are the biggest greenhouse gas emitters in the world. Together, we're 45% of the world's global warming pollution. And by the way, we're also the two biggest oil users and oil importers in the world. So We have some common interests, the United States and China. Neither one of us want to be reliant on imports from the Middle East for oil, for example.
All right. So if I'm a citizen of Poland or Belize and I'm looking at the two biggest carbon emitters and oil users talking about how they're going to fix climate change, how is that not some sort of conspiracy? Shouldn't you two be talking with me?
Oh, well, we are. These discussions on global warming are global and involve every country. But they also involve, pairs like the United States and China. I mean, the solution to global warming involves everybody, but it kind of just makes sense that when you've got two countries that represent the 45% of the total emissions, they ought to be talking to each other bilaterally, as the diplomats say.
All right. Well, then if China, which has vowed to get one-fifth of its energy from sustainable sources, actually achieves that, and of course there's some question about that, what would the U.S. do to demonstrate its willingness to make sacrifices?
Well, I think this whole agenda in both of our countries is about creating jobs. This is the economic future in the 21st century. It's clean energy. Today there are more jobs in wind energy in the United States than there are in coal mining. Jobs in all these fields are important, but there's huge growth going on in the whole clean energy area. It's one of the ways to get us out of our recession, both here in the United States and in China. What the Obama administration has done from the start is invest in this whole clean energy area. The economic stimulus bill that President Obama signed in February is the largest energy bill ever passed in the United States, with record-breaking investments in clean energy. There's a lot of exciting pieces of it. One of the pieces that excites me the most is on energy efficiency, because we waste so much energy in this country. And with some basic, simple investments, we can reduce the amount of energy we waste. And there's money in the stimulus package, for example, for investing in weatherizing low-income homes so less energy is wasted, and improving the efficiency of federal buildings. And that's the type of thing which creates jobs today, but then beyond that, it reduces bills forever. So
let me jump in here just for a second. One of the things that really strikes me is that when we talk about China, we are talking about leverage. China is a nation which owns much of the U.S. debt. Sometimes we are working in concert, and sometimes we are working at cross purposes as nations. how does America's financial relationship to China and diplomatic relationship to China affect our ability to work as partners on climate change? Is that even realistic?
So, Fry, that is an excellent question. I think that our two countries are deeply interlinked in many, many ways. The financial system is one that you just pointed to. The atmosphere is another. And so we have to find ways to be partners, even as we are competitors in some economic arenas. And so I think that actually this whole clean energy agenda can be a real pillar for cooperation between our two countries. We have such common interests. Both of our countries want to reduce our dependence on oil. And by the way...
But can the U.S. Have any authority, for example, to muscle China in any way? Or is that simply not possible?
I think it's a combination of pushing and pulling. I think, we have some very common interests with China, and both of us would benefit greatly. For example, if we could get electric vehicles out on the roads, which reduce our dependence on oil. And, we've just started to do that in the United States. General Motors has this car called the Volt, which is going to be a plug-in car. It's supposed to be coming out soon.
Understood.
On the road. China is starting to get out ahead of us on this. And so, there's some economic competition here, but there's also some cooperation our two countries can engage in.
All right. Well, David Sandilow, just back from Beijing. He's the Assistant U.S. Energy Secretary. He joined us from Washington. Secretary Sandilow, thanks so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.